Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're standing at the door and you're knocking. And this morning, we just want to open up the door of our hearts to you. We want to welcome your presence and your word to us. We want to, Lord, we're hungry. We desire for the fellowship of your presence. Lord, just for your words, Lord, to speak to us. And even now, Lord, we just quiet ourselves before you. Lord, we're ready to receive. Lord, we're hungry. We long for you to fill us, for you to feed us from your word this morning. So come, Holy Spirit, help us to understand. Give us understanding. Give us revelation this morning. Share your heart with us. Let us know you better today, we ask. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, today we're going to conclude our time in 2 Corinthians. And so our text this morning is verses 10 and 11. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It's always interesting to see our children and to watch them develop and grow, especially around concepts like money. And in our family, oftentimes it'll be one of the kids' birthdays, and the others will call a huddle and they'll say, "Okay, we want to buy this gift for them." And so if we all pitch in money, so usually it's the youngest one will run off and go to their wallet or their bank or wherever they keep their money at, and usually it's just like a little $5 gift or something like that they want to buy. But this youngest one will come back with like a $20 bill and just throw it in there, ready to give. And so our challenge as parents is we don't want to shut down that generosity. We just want them to understand exactly, you know, what they're giving. And so we try to help them explain, you know, how much they're actually giving, what's actually needed, and help them even understand a little bit. Okay, so you're giving this and that's fine, but here's what it's going to cost you in other ways. But and so there's always that tension because all they know is like, it's money. It's cool. People want money. I've got money. They want it. I'll just give it, right? It could be a dollar bill. It could be a 20. They don't care. They just want to give. What's that? Yeah. Well, I'll get to that here. Now, the other thing too is, you know, as we're training our children, we're not just in the area of money, but in other things, we try and train them. You know, that diligent hands prosper. And so we're always trying to teach them diligence in all things. So you say, would you take out the bathroom trash? And so normally at first, the first time they do this, they sort of just grab the plastic bag out of the trash can, sort of tie it up as they're running to the garage and just sort of throw it towards the trash can. And it kind of gets near the trash can, but not actually in the trash can. And they'll forget to put the plastic bag back in the basket. And then there's still all the papers and tissues and stuff all around the waste basket. So technically they've emptied the trash, but they haven't really done the job. And so we say you need to make sure it gets in the trash can, pick up those papers. But we try and help them understand that it's not that we're being tough parents. We're actually trying to bless them in their life, because you know what? If I'm your employer and I've got to come back and follow up on all this work that you're not doing and check up on you and bring you back to it and say, hey, it wasn't done right, you stop being a blessing and a help to me. Actually, now you're a liability. You're costing me all this time. And so we tell them, he said, you know, someone who works like that, they're probably not going to have a job for very long. Somebody who works like that, they're not going to get promoted. And you know, in times where there's layoffs, they're going to be the first ones to go. I say, then you won't be able to earn a living. Where are you going to get money? And so our kids, they're not trying to be smart, Alex, but they'll just respond like, I'll just go to the bank and get more. Like, why didn't I think of that? Just go to the bank and get more. But in that, they're expressing something. There's something, they're reflecting, they're speaking back a reality that they're walking in. Think about this. They have no problem, no hesitation releasing any amount of funds out of their piggy bank or out of their whatever little savings they have. And know why? It's because there's no fear there, is there? There's always going to be more coming. They're going to get more money at some point. And so they're free. They have no needs, and they're free just to release a 20, a 1, whatever. And you just go get more from the bank. What does that express? I mean, that's their whole world, right? There's always a roof over my head. There's always food on the table. There's always a bed to sleep on and clothes that fit. And whenever we just need money, we just go to the bank. It's really just that simple. And of course, in our maturity, we say, well, if only it were that simple. Right? But we encounter this hypocrisy in our lives as we sing, "You're a good, good Father." But then we start walking things out like it's really up to me. I've got to figure this out. I've got to carry this burden. Can you imagine how you would feel if you found out your children were trying to save all they could and keep all they could and hang on to what they could because, well, I know it's rained a lot this last week and Dad probably hasn't made a whole lot of money. So just in case I don't get any clothes, I might have some money set aside to make sure I'm clothed or that there's food on the table or that there's an electric bill that needs to be paid. We would be devastated. That's not their burden to carry. It's mine. And so there's this place, Jesus says, he says, "Let the little children come unto me because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And there's aspects of the kingdom that don't belong to us. There's aspects of the kingdom that we don't lay hold of, that we don't actually grow in and experience because we've despised the simplicity of that mindset because of a thought that it's up to us. That really, there's just not always money in the bank, is there? You know, he calls himself Father. And that's not because that's the fullness of who he is. It's the fullness of our understanding of who he is. I mean, that's the ceiling of our comprehension. He wants to reveal himself to us. And the limit to what we can get our heads around and what we can grasp about him is, he's like, "I'm like a father. Just like you're compassionate and faithful and committed and loving and caring for your children, just like you are as a father, that's me." The difference is he's an eternal father. So you take that love and that devotion, that compassion, that mercy, that training, that provision, and you multiply it times infinity, and now you're just starting to get his heart for you as a father. And that should absolutely just wreck us forever. The fact that, you know what, the most my heart could just explode sometimes in how much I love my kids, but to know that that's barely even an ember compared to the fires of his love and devotion for us. How much more with that perfect love does it call us to drive out fear from our lives and allow us to be free in generosity? So there are aspects of the kingdom that will never belong to us until we choose to lay hold of this ridiculous notion that we've been adopted as sons and daughters into his household. And he's a father to us, and there's always enough. But how do we walk in this? How do we move into this childlike faith? And I am not saying at all that, you know what? It's not important that you work. It's not important that you make a good living. There was a gentleman that came through here a number of years ago, but got this idea in his head. God told me just to not work anymore. He's going to take care of everything. His life quickly fell apart because he wasn't able to pay bills. God desires that we would work, but desires that we would work from a place of rest, a place of confidence in him, and that there's always more in the bank. There's always more in the bank. There's always more in the bank. The needs will always be met. Those needs aren't ours to carry. They're his. And so that actually frees us. And so the first thing we need to understand in moving in this style of generosity and experiencing this increase is just simply this. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. We need to come into the reality, the understanding, the idolatry of our hearts is this, is that we are not the source, but he's the source. He's the source. It's idolatry on our hearts to think that it's all up to us to make it happen. But rather, he's the source of our lives. And this plays itself out as we think it's my life. It's my strength. It's my skill set. It's my job. Ultimately, so it's my money. And ultimately, what we end up doing is, you know, I don't care how much you make or what position you hold in your life, your world is tiny compared to the fullness of his kingdom. It's tiny. You're a little person. And when we focus just here, when we see ourselves as the source and not Him, we live out of this. And so our reality is just this right here. But when we live like He's the source, then suddenly our life is not our own. We've actually been bought with a price. And that all, He is the one who sets the course for our life. And we begin to live for a larger, a greater kingdom purpose. And this is so freeing to us because it's so tempting, isn't it, to begin to compare ourselves with the world standard and the world's measure of success. We try and keep up with the Joneses. We see all that we don't have. But we are called to live for the will of God. I'll share more of my story as we go through all of this morning. But I remember we graduated from TFC and everything in our hearts, everything, every desire we had was to move away, to move out of Toccoa. And we tried, but every door closed to us. But at the same time, God began to open up work here and other opportunities around us. And it finally clued in. Maybe God actually wants us to stay here. And so we just submitted to that. We gave ourselves to that. And we were trying to share this with somebody else who kind of had the same story where they had graduated and were ready to move on, but they ended up just here. And so as we were sharing the story, they tried to finish it for us. And we said, you know, we just feel like the Lord is just, you know, that we've seen doors open up here. And they said, and now you're stuck here. There's something that really ticked me off about that. I'm not stuck here. You know, what we realized is you can be miserable anywhere. You can be completely miserable in New York City or the jungles of Africa. You can be miserable in the Rocky Mountains. You can be miserable in Toccoa. But you will be absolutely satisfied only in the center of His will for your life. And in that regard, suddenly the success or what the world labels as success or prosperity or really making a mark or really making a difference becomes meaningless. Because there's nowhere else I would rather be than in the center of His will where He's directing the course of my life. When we live out of our own strength, it's just what we have. That's it. And that's the limit of it. But when we live out of His strength, there's a testimony of grace on our lives. I said last week, we're not called to be just a religious organization. We're called to be a supernatural people moving in supernatural power. Outsiders should look at us and say, we don't know how you do this. The answer is simple, that out of His glorious riches, that He would strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner man. That's the measure of strength that we are to walk in. It's His power operating through us. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So abide in me. Find your strength in me. Find your life in me. Sometimes we think, you know, it's my skill set. And we feel very comfortable in that. We like the new phrase now is stay in your lane. And just stay there. Focus on that. And there's some wisdom in that. But how many of you have ever felt like God has just led you into a situation where you're like, this is so above my pay grade. I am just outside of my comfort zone. I am completely underqualified for this. And you look around and you see 100 other people that would be better at doing this than you. But God, that's what your prayer life is. What are you thinking? What were you doing? Welcome to the kingdom. And the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, blameless in the law. He was educated under the Ivy League of rabbis. Our mind would say, send him to be an apologist to the Jewish people for the Christian faith. God says, no, I'm going to send you to Gentiles. And Paul is continually talking about the grace that I'm walking in to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. See, it's completely outside of our skill set. Why? So that His power, see, if we're only called to do things within our skill set, we actually have no need of Him or His power or His grace, but His power is perfected in our weakness. Because He's the source. He's the source of our life, so we begin to live life in a larger sphere. He's the source of our strength, so we're moving in a larger sphere of power. He's the source of our everything that we have, and so we begin to move in a larger sphere. What about my job? You know, it was I went and earned a degree. I nailed the interview. I got the job. I worked there, and I've got a reputation that keeps that job. But here's the thing, is that when he's the source, our values around our job actually begin to change. Because sometimes we think, especially as men, our identity is wrapped up so much in our job. And that's who we are. But when he's our source, our identity is found in him, and our job just becomes that which funds our calling in him. Again, we graduated and we had every intention of leaving, but God began to open up doors here, and we had a job. I worked for 2 years at PTL here in town. And it was a good job. It was a great work environment, and I had no complaints, but my life was this. I got up in the morning, I went to work, I went home. I got up in the morning, I went to work, I went home. And the question that I hated was, how's work? Like, work's work. It's just work. I was completely bored with my life. Work's work. It'll be there tomorrow and the next day and the week after. It's just work. I show up and I go home. I show up and I go home. That's the extent of my life. But then I had the opportunity. I was invited to become the worship leader here. And what surprised me was that I came into my calling, and something came alive in me that I never known before. And there's a grace on me like I never experienced. Let me take you back, right? Late 90s. Before really the internet was a source of stuff, right? We had to, if you wanted to know the chords to a song, you had to buy the CD and the songbook, right? And sometimes you only liked one song off the CD, but you had to buy the whole CD and the whole songbook. And of course, that was too expensive for me, so I would just find the song and then just sit there cross-legged on the floor and spend hours just trying to figure out the chords. Listen to it, stop it, replay it, listen to it, stop it, replay it, as I'm writing down. And then when you had to make one copy for the band and then one copy that didn't have the chords on it for the overhead sheets on the side. Remember those? The transparencies? Woo! Way back. All of a sudden, when I said yes to the Lord, there's the calling of God on my life was just released in a fresh way. And all of a sudden, I could sit down and with a few minutes hear the chords, knock them out. And that may not seem much to you. I know we have musicians here who can just, they don't just tell them the name of the song and they know the chords, right? But for me, it was a huge, huge work of the Lord. And now all of a sudden people come and they say, how's work? And I'm like, work's work. But let me tell you about what God's doing in worship at our church. Let me tell you about what God's doing in our body. And suddenly work just became a means to do my calling. Work was just work. It doesn't matter. I could do anything. But what am I called to do? I began, it wasn't about my source. It wasn't about me being the source. It wasn't about just my job and that's my identity and that's what I do. It's about the call of God on my life. And suddenly he became the source of this. There's a younger man in Fargo, and he works for Microsoft, and he's a rock star. And can you believe this? Imagine yourself, right? He's in his late 20s. He's single, and Microsoft pays him to travel the globe and do trainings to different offices all over the place. Can you imagine being in your late 20s single and having a better job than that? Seeing the world and making money. And so I was asked, I said, well, that sounds exciting. He says, yeah, I'm thinking about stepping back from it. Why? He says, well, it's really going to pull away from my time at the church. Think about the values that expresses. Think about how completely countercultural that is, even within the church, let alone outside the church. See, if your job's your identity, then you give yourself fully to there, and that's everything to you, because you're the source. But when he's the source, and he releases your calling and you begin to move in such a larger place. All right, now, what about your income? Again, when we're just living out of us, my income is just, it's just what I have. And I can only do with what I have. And that's, our vision is locked just on that. But Paul says this in Philippians. I'll just read it to you. I forgot to put it up on the screen there. But I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So many times I've heard that verse, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, meaning, hey, I've got an unexpected bill, but don't freak out, don't fret about it. Hey, things are tight, but don't worry. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And that's absolutely true, and you can stand on that 100%. But Paul, the context in which he's saying this is missional giving. It's generosity. It's giving. It's sowing to the kingdom. He's saying, I want you to know this, as you're sowing this, my God's going to meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's more in the bank. According to, in the same way, to the same degree, with the same intensity, of the same measure of all of his eternal riches in Christ Jesus in glory, he's going to meet your needs. As opposed to, this is all that I have. See, when God's your source, you actually have access to those riches in glory in Christ Jesus. When you're the source, this is all that you have. And so it frees us to walk by faith. It frees us to lay hold of those things. Just this past week, over the past couple of weeks, we've just had, you know, we've had family in town, and then just different opportunities to minister and serve by, and having people in our home. And so there's just been this continual stream of people coming through our home over the past 2 weeks. And just a few nights ago, Jen and I were sitting on the bed, and we've got the whole Dave Ramsey envelopes out, and she sits down, and she says, you know what? She said, I went grocery shopping this week. And normally when it's just us and it's, we're real chill and it's just our family, sometimes it gets real thin towards the end of the week as far as how much we have in that grocery budget. And sometimes we may have to pull from another category. She said, but with all the people coming through our house, we started off this week with $80 extra. We joke, we laugh because, not because it's not for real, but because it's so counterintuitive. But we say, you know what? Things are tight. Let's give something away so that we receive increase, because he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And so there's this place of understanding. There's more in the bank. There's more coming. We'll never lack. There's no fear about us not having enough. I've been young and now I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. There's always enough. There's always more. He's got plenty. And what a miserable existence to live out of this, when we have the eternal riches of his glory in Christ Jesus that he desires to see manifested in us and through us. That we would ever hold back or shrink back in fear. He's my source. I've shared this story with you before many times, to where I work for dealerships during the week, and oftentimes every few weeks, every few years, a owner will just sort of get this itch in his mind there, and he starts looking at his numbers and realizing, I've got a paint and body shop in the back of my lot here, and I'm spending all this money to have touch-up work done. So he's just seeing his money going out of his business, because why don't I just put it into the paint shop? That makes sense. The problem is that the body shop gets backed up with work, and they end up calling me back in. But in that, you never know when this is coming. And so he'll just tell his people, says, you know what, we're not gonna use the vendor anymore. Just cut them loose. And so I'll show up, and the sales managers know this isn't gonna work, but they say, Aaron, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Your work's great. We love having you come in. You're faithful to show up and do the work. You're our guy, but this is above me, and I can't do anything about this. We're gonna have to let you go. He said, just keep checking back in, because I know this isn't gonna last. because I'm so, so sorry. You should see the look on their face when I say, okay. Like, no, really, it's not my fault. It's above me. I'm so sorry. This shouldn't have happened. It's not going to work. I'm like, it's fine. It's totally fine. He's not my source. The economy is not my source. The weather is not my source. The government is not my source. He's my source. So I'm free to give freely. Nobody can take anything from me because He's my source. And so He desires that He wants to move us from a place of us being the source to Him being our source. He wants to move us into a larger kingdom reality, a larger kingdom identity, larger kingdom purpose and resource. I live in a house on 3/4 acre, and that's enough. It's enough to try and maintain that house. It's enough just to try and keep 3/4 acre in order. Sometimes I'll envision having massive acreage, but then I start thinking about what it would take just to maintain that, and I'm like, ever know somebody who just bought too much house? Like, you don't even have the furniture to fill that house. You don't even have the resources to be able to pay the heating bill or the cooling bill in that place. What are you going to, or the taxes, what are you going to do with all that? He wants to move us from us being the source to Him being the source. He wants to move us from something small into something larger. But He's not moving us into a house that we don't have furniture to fill. He's not moving us into a house that He's not going to provide power and resources to manage. Amen. He's moving us into a larger place. And what is He going to give us? He's going to supply and increase your store of seed. As you move from I'm the source to He's the source, He's going to increase the supply and store of seed. You're not only going to have, you're going to have more to give of yourself. That's the promise of seeing Him, of moving from my little world to His big kingdom, is that He actually brings increase for you to fill that larger space with. He says, I'm going to enlarge the harvest of your righteousness, not only within yourself, but in all of your labors in the kingdom. Righteousness is going to be multiplied in those that you serve. I'm taking you from the smallness, the tininess of your little world. I'm taking you into the abundance of my kingdom. And your righteousness is going to be multiplied, and you will be enriched in every way. I was saying, God, help me describe this. I just heard the words of Jesus. He says, from your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. There's just always more. There's just a depth. Your deep just got deeper. There's more in you to pour out. There's more in you to give. There's just a richness to your life that God wants to, as you're living in this larger place of Him being the source, He brings us, He meets us with abundance. And the amazing thing is this, sometimes we think, I got to fight for it. I got to call it down. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to call it down. You have to surrender for it. You don't have to fight for it. You just have to surrender for it. What an upside down, backwards, weird kingdom where you give up to gain. You surrender to gain. You surrender for increase. I'm not the source, but you are. There's always more in the bank. I just need to ask for it. And my Father is faithful. He knows our needs even before we ask. And so what does this look like? Well, let's just start here on a Sunday morning. You have to surrender for increase. Hebrews tells us this. He says, for those who lead you, he said, make it a joy for them to serve you. Make it a joy. That means when you first come in here, your focus, your aim is to bring joy to those who serve you. We surrender for increase. As the worship team begins to lead us, what would it look like for me to give them joy? To increase their joy? How am I posturing myself? How am I engaging myself? Am I waiting? Am I waiting for something, for some sort of, you know, stirring in my heart that maybe will come, maybe not, and I'll, okay, then I'll enter into engage? Or are we coming here focusing, Lord, I want to bring the leadership that the team has. I want to bring them the fullness of joy. And so even before we have a call to worship, I'm engaged. Even before the first strum of the guitar, before the first words of the song come out of the leader's mouth, I'm engaged. My heart, the incline, the leaning of my heart, and my goal, my aim, my mind, my heart is set on meeting with God. Having been there for 11 years, this is overwhelming for a worship leader. Abby Higdon does a great job of organizing the rotation of teachers in our classes. What's the focus of our lives to see to it that we make that role a joy for her? We surrender to gain. We just simply not show up, or just simply, hey, I'm not going to be there, and take off. I'll let her scramble around and try and find somebody. Focus of our lives is making it a joy. When deacons say, hey, we have a need, that there's not even a hesitation. Well, maybe somebody else will get. No, we surrender for increase. Oh, it's an inconvenience. Oh, you know, I gotta. You know what? I'm here. I'm available. And that response, it just brings joy. We surrender for the increase, so that there's an abundance of seed to sow, so that there's an enrichment in every way, so that the harvest of our righteousness is increased and abounding. What about in our homes? Husbands, I know it's difficult sometimes, because you've spent, it feels like, all of your strength at work during the day, and then you come home and just the thought pattern is, I just want to do nothing. I just want to sit and be still. I don't want to engage. I don't want to have to work at this. I just, all the hassles of life, I just want to forget about them. I'm home. I want to be at rest. But we surrender for increase. And husbands, you're called to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And so here you are, and the burden is not just simply, I got to hang on to what I have. We surrender for increase. Our children, they don't just need to be told right from wrong. They don't just need a roof and clothes and food on the table. They need a heart connection with their father. Otherwise, they are fatherless, no matter how well you provide for them. They need a heart connection with their father. We surrender for increase. I've told you before, the thing that ticks me off sometimes, I am so blessed with the wife and children that God has given me, but it ticks me off when I hear somebody say, oh, you're just lucky. Lucky nothing. Do you know what this cost me? I had to surrender for increase. I had to surrender so that the harvest of my righteousness would be increased. I had to surrender so that seed to sow and would be multiplied to me. I had to surrender so that I would be enriched in every way. In our workplaces, we surrender for increase. That we're the people that are there early and on time. That we, the words, it's not my job, never come out of our lips. That we're not just simply, they had a saying when I was in the restaurant business, if there's time to lean, there's time to clean. Right? That we're always looking for ways to improve the efficiency of the business and improve the environment. And we're just a blessing to be there. We, as same as with the church, we make it a joy that we're there. We surrender for increase so that you will be enriched in every way, so that the harvest of your righteousness will increase, so that seed for sowing will be multiplied to you. This is the larger place that God's calling us into, and it goes from the reason why we don't do these things is because we're so fearful that we don't have enough. We fear what we lose and miss out on what we'll gain. And Paul encourages us in this for two reasons. He says, one, so that you can be generous on every occasion. There will be more to give and more opportunities to give. And finally, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Think about this. We're not the source and we're not the goal. The problem with prosperity teaching is that it ends with us. You just claim these promises and your life will get better, and that's the end of the story. It doesn't end with us, it ends with Him. He's the source and the goal. He's the beginning and the end. And so it doesn't just end with, hey, you're going to have more, but you're going to have more to sow. You're going to have more to harvest. You're going to have more to not only be enriched, but to enrich. And as a result, praise and thanksgiving are offered up to God. Why? Because you moved from this to this. You went from you being the source to Him being the source. And as a result, the abundance of heaven is released through you. It doesn't just stop with you. Like, look at all this good stuff I have. Jesus is awesome. No, Jesus is awesome. Let me show you why. And it just pours out of you freely. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Just ask the Holy Spirit just to show us every area of fear or hesitation or unbelief in our life, to where we shrink back and we hold tight to the things that He desired to be sown in our lives. He desires, actually, He might be calling you, and you know it, not because, just because you know His voice. He's calling you to actually give it away, to sow it. Because he wants His church operating in the largeness of who He is. Okay. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love You. And thank You that You're just good beyond anything we could ask or imagine. Thank You, Lord, for Your love for us. Thank You that You love us so much that You're not willing to let us settle for second best. You're not willing to let us settle for good enough, but You want to bring us into Your very best. Lord, thank You that, Lord, we're so unworthy, but You want to reveal Your goodness. You want to reveal, Lord, Your love and Your faithfulness, Your power in us and through us. And so, Lord, we come to You today just to recommit ourselves just in surrender to You, Lord, and just say, Lord, if it's all that we have is just our words, but here they are, Lord, all that we have is Yours. All that we have is from You and to You and through You, Lord. And Father, we just ask You for grace, Lord, to live in the confidence of Your love, Lord, the confidence of Your goodness, Father, the confidence of Your power and Your strength, Lord, that You've freely given us. Lord, You've not spared Your own Son for us. Will You not freely give us all things? And we thank You, Lord, for showing us this today. We bless You. And we ask, Father, that this word would take root in our hearts and bear much fruit. We thank You in Jesus' name.